Hello, everybody. Hello, folks. This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. And it's good to be here tonight. And I'm going to be trying some new things tonight and just kind of see how it feels, or not how it feels, but just see how it goes and stuff like that. And I'm going to actually start playing hymnals. I'm going to be playing one before Fishers of Men, and I'm going to be playing one before Pastor Brandon Live and one at the end. And so the one that you just heard is one of my favorite hymnals. It's He Hideth My Soul. And I'm going to be kind of trying out some new things today and see how it goes. And along with the sound effects and stuff like that, I'm going to use those too. But, you know, I'm going to also just try some new things out and see how things go. And we'll just sort of go from there. And tonight's lesson is going to be an interesting lesson. It's going to be about, the title of the message is Prosperity Scam. And we're going to be talking about the prosperity scam that is being taught by these megachurch preachers, by Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers and all these other do-goody-two-shoe, believe-in-yourself, speak-good-things, and don't even talk about the negative. You know, that's just a bunch of malarkey. No, I don't know if that's actually a joke or not. But anyways, that's a bunch of baloney. And a lot of these teachers are just teaching negative. They're doing a disservice to their congregation. And these preachers, these megachurch preachers, are teaching that if you give us your money, if you give me your money, God will bless you. And sometimes, every time I look at these preachers, I just want to just boom, you know, just boom out of their own churches. It's not right, you know. And preachers should not be having this give me money and God will bless you attitude. That's the selfishness and filthy lucre. And when you read the Bible, you know, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, tells people to not do things for filthy lucre's sake. And that's what these mega church preachers are doing, and they're fleecing their flock for money and more. And so we're going to be talking about the prosperity scam. And, you know, what's really interesting, okay, here's what's interesting. I have the Pure Bible Search software pulled up on my computer, and prosperity is mentioned 17 times in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to read every single occurrence of the word prosperity, but I'll just read a few. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Deuteronomy 23:6, and this is not. I mean, this really isn't going to be part of the message, but this is from a biblical standpoint of what, you know, of where the term prosperity is in a biblical sense, okay? In Deuteronomy 23:6, it says, "Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever." Okay, that was Deuteronomy 23:6. That's the first occurrence of it, okay? Now, 1 Samuel 25:6, it says, "And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast." And let's see here. It says here, what was it here? Okay, if you want to know what prosperity is, okay, this is like prosperity. This is like, to me, like what prosperity, what really is, okay? In Job 36:11, okay, Job chapter 36, verse 11, it says this: "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and then their years in pleasure." Okay, if they obey and serve him, okay, obey and serve who? obey and serve God. Okay? Right there. If you obey and serve God, you'll be prosperous. Okay? That's prosperity. The megachurch people would like for you to believe that prosperity is give us your and your God will bless you. That's not prosperity. That's a get rich quick scheme. And so tonight, like I said, we're going to be talking about the prosperity scam. And what I mean by that, true biblical prosperity is you obeying and trusting in the Lord. Amen. Obeying and trusting in the Lord. That is prosperity. Okay? Now, we're going to go ahead and start. But beforehand, I just want to give you a couple of verses to kind of think about, okay? Ezekiel 3:17, okay? Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Okay, the reason why I say that is because the prosperity gospel, okay, is trouble and it will send people to hell. Okay, it will send people to hell. Okay, why? Because the prosperity gospel is a lie. It is not true. Okay, it is all a lie. Okay, remember, okay, biblical prosperity is you obey and you serve God. Kenneth Copeland's prosperity gospel is give us your and God will bless you. That is not true. And give us your money and God will bless you. That is not prosperity. Okay. Real biblical prosperity stems from trusting and obeying Jesus Christ and serving Him. Obeying and serving Jesus Christ is only true prosperity, because without Christ, you can do nothing. That means without Jesus Christ, you cannot prosper. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Okay, so the prosperity gospel and Kenneth Copeland's sense is a damnable heresy and will send you straight to hell. And I have an obligation to preach on this. To warn people, and I'm going to tell you something. I see trouble coming with this, and trouble is happening. Okay? Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou should be no priest to me, saying, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Listen, you guys, I gotta preach on stuff that people may not want to hear. And why? Because a lot of people are choosing to reject knowledge. And whether people like it or not, there are probably even some biblical or so-called Christians who claim to be born again but have rejected knowledge. And because they've rejected knowledge, God has rejected them. Okay? So I plead with you, brothers and sisters, for all those who are watching, please do not reject one of them I'm about to preach on. Okay? Now, if I'm preaching heresy, then yeah, sure, I can understand that. Okay? By the way, don't ever trust a word that I say. Okay? Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? God is the only one who's true and perfect. Okay? Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? I can mislead people. And here's why I say that, because I don't want you taking every single thing that I say word for word as true gospel. I want you to take what I say and you match it with the Bible. Amen. I want you to do your homework. I want you to be Bereans. Okay? So, 2 Corinthians 2:11. lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let me tell you something. One of the devices of the devil is this prosperity gospel. It's this so-called gospel that says, you give us your money and God will bless you. Let me tell you something. Tithing is strictly between you and God. And if people want to give, that's fine. I don't want to know about it. That's between you and God. And how much you give, that's between you and God. But these mega church preachers, they want to know how much you tithe. Or you can't be a member of their church. And that's wicked. That is wicked. People should be a member of the church. Why? To be a member of the family so we can love on them, tell them the truth. It has nothing to do with money, and money cannot buy you into heaven. Can I get an amen on that? Your money, by the way, when you think that the gift of God can be purchased with money, your money will perish with you. Except you repent. Okay? Your money will not buy you into heaven. Under no circumstance. Okay? Now. Okay? We are going to talk. This is why I'm going to be talking about. This is why the title of the message is called Prosperity Scam. Because the prosperity gospel is a scam. It is a get-rich-quick scheme. And Kenneth Copeland is a mastermind at it. He's smart. Kenneth Copeland is actually very intelligent, very smart. But he's a bozo. He's a bozo because, first of all, he's not born again. And second of all, he's got these weird ideas of what born again means. That's what makes him a bozo. He's weird. He's fork-tongued. He's two-faced. And I bet you he's probably working for the Vatican. I wouldn't surprise me if he was. That's a whole nother thing. We're not going to get into that. So, okay, we're going to get into the message this evening. I want you guys to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. If you got your Bibles with you, we're going to open a big old can of King James. We're going to open a big old... We're going to take out our King James guns, and we're going to start aiming at the prosperity gospel in the heart of it, and we're going to shoot this false doctrine down, and we're going to make sure that we understand that this doctrine is a damnable heresy and not true. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. Like I said, prosperity is you trusting and obeying Christ. Amen? And serving Him. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 2, I already did 2, 2 Corinthians 11, 4, it says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Listen, there is another gospel. There is another Jesus. By the way, you know who that other Jesus is? That other Jesus is the Antichrist. That other Jesus is the Jesus that will send you to hell. That's the other Jesus. See, there are two Jesuses in the Bible. Okay? You got Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God, who offers any and all to those who accept him eternal life. But then there is another Jesus that Paul warns about. And that other Jesus will send people straight to hell in a handbasket quicker than you can say goodbye. That's the other Jesus. There's also another spirit, the spirit of Antichrist. There is another gospel, the prosperity gospel. All this other prosperity nonsense that people are spreading. It's a bunch of lies is what it is. Okay? You've also got this social, these social gospels. You got these libertarian gospels that they think that you have another gospel. Okay? I'm not going to start making stuff up, but one of them is this prosperity gospel. Okay? And that prosperity gospel is quite damning. Okay? Now, what is the prosperity gospel? Now, the prosperity gospel says that it's God's will for you to be rich. And churches will tell you that if you tithe or give a certain amount, then God will bless you. And that's wrong. Okay? What's really going on is that pastors are scamming money off the congregation. Okay? Yes, should you tithe to your storehouse? Yes. Can you give an offering to a ministry? Yes. You should. Because actually, tithing, by not tithing, you're actually robbing from God. Because all that money is God's money, and by not tithing, you're just taking it away. You're taking something that's not yours away from Him. So it's really the same as thievery. Okay, so God wants you to tithe. Okay? But tithing and giving should really only be between you and God. That's none of the pastor's business. Okay? That is none of the pastor's business, and pastors do not have a right to stand and start haranguing their congregation to tithe. Then you're getting into filthy lucre. And the Bible says you're not to get into filthy lucre. And filthy lucre is really doing ministry for the sake of money. I'm not preaching messages like this to get money. I don't want your money. I don't. Now there is people who have chosen to give. Okay? That's fine. If they want to give, I'm not going to stop them. If they really truly feel led to give to the ministry, so be it. I'm not going to prevent them from doing so. But it's not going to be none of my business to go in and say, how much are you really going to give me? That's inappropriate. And it's none of my business. If people want to give, that's between them and God. I don't care. I'm just going to believe and trust in God. Amen? Because God is the one who's my provider, not man. And people like Kenneth Copeland think that... And by the way, Kenneth Copeland is not just a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing, but he is a hireling. He's doing it for the money. He don't care about anything but the money. Okay? Now, let's continue on. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Kenneth Copeland has done things for filthy lucre, and he's coveted, and he's actually bragged and boasted about being a billionaire, and his people are just clapping and cheering from him when they don't even realize it was their money that he stole from them. That's a shame. That's a shame. Amen. That's just a darn shame. What a bunch of goats. I've got other words, but I'd just rather say goats because that's what they are. They're just goats. And I'm gonna tell you something. Some of these, I feel bad for some of these people. I feel really bad. My prayer and hope is that these people will just eventually get up and realize that these teachers are liars. Liars from the pit of hell. Because they need to know the truth. Amen? I hope that one of these days that something will happen to where they wake up and they realize they need Jesus Christ. Amen? I just hope that some of those people get out of that and get saved. Because they need that. And see, there you go. That's right, sister. Goats are anti-Christians and imposters. You know what's really interesting about goats is that in Satanism, they have this upside-down star, the pentagram. And the upside-down pentagram is the goat of Mendes. So the goat is actually very well-known around Satanism. Isn't that interesting? Chew on that for a moment. And by the way, Jesus said he was going to separate the what? The sheep from the goats. Wow. Isn't that interesting? Just take a moment to just dwell and think on that. That will blow your mind, but I don't want to get it too much off topic. But here's the thing. Okay, so when it says that they erred from the faith, okay, there are pastors that will try to convince you that Jesus Christ and his disciples were rich. And this is contrary to what the Bible says. Okay? Now, I gotta scroll down here. I'm trying something new, and it's actually kind of cool. I'll tell you more about it later. Okay? I'll repeat what I said at the beginning of the broadcast. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, and Jesus, and here's the thing, these prosperity gospels, their reasoning for being rich is that they'll tell you that Jesus Christ was rich. No, he was not. That's contrary to what the Word of God says. Okay? Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. It says, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was poor, and it was because of your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty ye might be rich. Rich in faith, rich in love, rich in heavenly things, not earthly things. Jesus Christ was poor. He was not rich. If anyone tries to tell you this nonsense that Jesus Christ was rich, don't buy it. It's a lie from straight from the pit of hell, and you shouldn't have to listen to that garbage. Okay, let me re-say what I said, because I think I said something wrong. Okay, these people, these mega church people will tell you that Jesus Christ was rich. Okay, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Don't buy it. If people try to tell you that Jesus Christ was rich, don't buy that nonsense. That's a bunch of garbage from the pit of hell, and it will send people to hell if they munch on it and they start feeding off that. Because Jesus Christ was poor. He was not rich. Amen? That's what makes me mad, is when people think that my king was rich on earth when he was actually poor. Okay? He left the riches of heaven and came down here. Okay? But while he was on earth, he was poor. He was poor. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So we see that Jesus Christ was not rich. Neither was the apostles. Okay? Acts 18:3. And because he was of the same craft, He abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker. You know why? Because Paul, our dear beloved brother Paul, worked on the side of ministry. Why? He worked because he wanted to earn money from an occupation instead of having to, you know, take money from collections, which he could have did. There's nothing wrong with that, a workman is worthy of his hire. But he felt Paul felt it more suitable for him to work a job and do ministry. That's what I do. I have a job. It's not the glamorous job, but it's a job while doing this. So all you fake and phony pastors out there that say that Jesus Christ and his apostles were rich, shame on you. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and yet I am poor. I'd rather be poor and in Christ than having to be rich and to lose my soul. Shame on you fake and phony pastors. You should be ashamed of yourselves for preaching such heresy and such damnable doctrine that send your flock to hell in a handbasket. Shame on you people. That's not right. It's not right. Doctrine like that is doctrine, these prosperity doctrines that these fake and phony pastors preach is not right. It is wrong. It's not right. It is because of these heresies that classify these pastors, false teachers, and wolves. The Bible warns us about these kind of people. In Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Oh, wait a minute. They are ravening. They are ravening wolves. Now, I'm not afraid to mention names. Okay? I'm sure you know, you got Kenneth Copeland. He brags about being a billionaire. Goes around saying how he's got all these private jets and has this glorious mansion. You know, I really wish that Kenneth Copeland would take his billions and billions of dollars and invest it in churches that actually need it. Because there are churches around this nation that actually need the money. But will he do that? No. Because of his flesh. He wants to please and satisfy his flesh. Which, by the way, when Jesus Christ was here, he didn't satisfy or pleasure his flesh. If he did, that would be sin. Which then would actually would put Jesus Christ at disqualification of a perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ came to do the Father's will. He didn't come to pleasure his own flesh. What makes us think that we can get away with that? Jesus said that no servant is greater than his master. If Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father, how much more should we be doing that? How much more should we be doing the will of the Father and spending less time on our flesh and more on the Spirit? We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. We're supposed to be crucifying the flesh. But people like Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Jerry Savelle, Creflo Give Me a Dollar, and all these other false teachers are feeding their flesh and the pleasures of their flesh. Well, all I have to say to you false preachers is repent. Because the day is coming where you will be judged, just like the rest of us, except your judgment is going to be at a great white throne judgment. Our judgment as believers is going to be at a bema seat where we either get an addition or subtraction of rewards. The judgment of non-believers is going to be the books are open, they're not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, and their end is going to be the lake of fire where their torment is going to be rising up. The smoke of their torment is going to rise up in the presence of the Lamb and the holy angels for all eternity, forever. I don't think you want that end. I don't think anybody wants that end. And by the way, you don't have to choose that end. You can choose today to choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, because today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Okay? When you have pastors that have money, have a love of money, they will not endure sound doctrine. But they have itching ears. They have itching ears. Their ears itch. They want their ears to be tickled. I know, I'm preaching really hard, but I have to preach hard. Okay? I have to. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's what these teachers are. These hot shot preachers. They have itching ears. Amen. They have itching ears. For an example, these teachers will say that God will bless you if you give them a certain amount of money. Also, you'll notice that these pastors will not preach on hell. They won't preach on sin, which means they won't preach on repentance. They won't preach on remission of sin. Okay? They would tell their congregation that you're okay and I'm okay while you are on your way to hell. That's what Joel Osteen's very famous for. Oh, I'm okay, you're okay. All these mega churches are saying, all these mega church preachers are saying that. Oh, you're okay, I'm okay. No, you're not. Because you have a sin nature that needs to be taken care of. You're not okay. People who think that they are okay are so puffed up in pride, they don't realize the need for Jesus Christ. You know, I was listening to Brother Ryan this morning. I liked what he preached on. He talked about works a little bit, if I remember correctly. He talked about works and how we're not saved by our works. And let me tell you something. If you think that you can earn your way to heaven and you can save yourself, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. Okay? If we can save ourselves, what need is there of Christ? What need is there of his crucifixion and his death and resurrection if we could save ourselves? Let me tell you something. You can't save yourself. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot do good works to earn your way into heaven. You know why? Because if we could, there's no need of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. As you can see, Jesus Christ is saying you cannot serve two masters. You can't. Okay? You can't serve both God and you cannot serve money. Okay? Choose which one. Ooh! Hang on a second. Just turn with me to Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15. Okay? And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who will you serve? Will you serve the false gods will you serve the false gods, or are you going to serve God? You have to pick. You have to choose. There's no in between. As what Brother Ryan said, you're either saved or you're not saved. It's simple. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you are saved, you're saved. You're sealed. You're sealed, signed, and you will be delivered. By the way, you know what delivery is? Our translation. You know, sign, seal, and delivery. No, I don't know. Anyways, let's see here. Let's continue on. Oh. Okay, you either serve God or money, but not both. Again, we will see this mentioned again in the book of Luke. Okay? Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Okay? These mega church preachers are living worldly lives. And Jesus Christ said, you can't serve two masters. Jesus Christ also says, you're not to store your riches up for yourselves on earth, but in heaven. Okay? Matthew 6:19-20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Okay, the Bible says you're supposed to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And with these heretics, they need to repent. They need to repent of their sin. Okay? The reason why God has allowed these heretics to preach. Okay? Because God is using these heretics to prove, to test you to see whether you love the Lord or not. Okay? He's going to test you. But I also said, too, that these false preachers, God is allowing them to preach their heresies because it is the famine that's mentioned in Amos 8:11. Okay, let's turn there. Okay, Amos 8:11. Amos 8:11 has been really been. I haven't forgotten it. I mean, it's still with me, it seems like. But Amos 8:11. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." Let me tell you something. The word of the Lord is spiritual food, and God has sent a famine by allowing these false heretics to preach what they preach. Why? Because it is a famine that is going to get worse of hearing the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe a day is coming where a lot of these people are going to forsake these preachers, and they're going to either going to look in the world for answers, or B, they're going to go to a storehouse that God has raised up to search for answers or for truth. Amen. When people need to start preaching, they need to start preaching the word of God. Not preaching on how they feel, not preaching me, not preaching money, not preaching this or that, but preaching the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to be preaching Jesus Christ, not this prosperity scam nonsense. Because this prosperity scam is indeed a scam to send people to hell. It is. Okay, now listen, I'm going to wrap it up, okay, and it's going to be a little bit lengthier wrap up, but I'll explain why in a minute. But listen, I don't want you taking my word for things. Don't take what Brandon says. I want you to take what Brandon says and you match it with what God says. And if what I say does not match with this, then let God be true and every man a liar. And if I'm wrong, then God will chasten and correct me and show me where I'm wrong, and I will have to give an account for it one of these days. But if I am right, then I pray that God will show you what I'm talking about. Amen. So, non-believers, okay, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Today is the day of salvation. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, when Peter was drowning and he cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Immediately, the Lord reached down and saved him. How much more will He do that for those who cry out to Him? You have to cry out to Him. How do you do that? Going before the Lord and repenting sincerely with your whole heart, repenting of your sins, acknowledging that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, putting your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross, and believing that He paid that full price, asking Him to come into your heart and life, being the Lord and Savior of your life, to forgive you and cleanse you of your sins, and to fill you with His Spirit. Amen. If you cry out to the Lord, He will save. Amen. It's not difficult. Anyways, so I know that was quick, but I do have a couple of announcements I'd like to make. So at the beginning of this program, I sort of ran through, and I'm going to kind of repeat myself because I want to kind of talk a little bit more in detail about this, okay? So today, I'm starting to do some new things with my program, with my broadcasts every week. And what I'm going to do is that every Fishers of Men broadcast, at the very beginning, I'm going to play a hymnal before I preach, okay? And at the beginning of every Pastor Brandon Live, I'm going to do the same thing. But here's the difference. At the end of the Pastor Brandon Live, I'm going to play another hymnal at the end of Pastor Brandon Live. So there's going to be one for Fishers of Men, and there's going to be two for Pastor Brandon Live, okay? And what I'm going to do is I have my Pure Bible Search all lined up. So, you know, I'll have all my stuff on my computer, and I'll be using that. I haven't used that, but I will be using that and getting back into it. I'll be getting back into the program and be using that more and more throughout the broadcasts. But I will also be using Evernote on my laptop, and I'll be using it as kind of a means to show and read my notes on my computer. And I'll have sermon audio pulled up with the music, with the hymns. And then I'll also have my phone strictly just for the sound effects. And so I'm going to try this out and see how this goes, see how well it goes and stuff like that. Hopefully it goes well. If it goes well, I'll continue doing it. But it's just something that, you know, I thought we can add a little bit more fun to it. We can just, you know, but we can also listen to just short little clips of hymns too, you know. And so that's what I'm going to be doing starting tonight. And so I hope that can be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to you. I hope that these messages are a blessing to you. And my goal is to preach the truth in love, but I have to preach the truth because not many people are. There's only a small handful of preachers that will ever preach the truth as it is. That's the sad reality. I have to preach it. I'm commanded by my King to preach things that are not necessarily favorable. I have to. I just have to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I have to obey my King. By obeying and serving God, that is what will make a person prosperous. If I can just leave you with a thought. Money does not define prosperity. Your obedience defines prosperity. Money does not. Amen. Obedience is prosperity. Money is not prosperity. Amen. I want you guys to think about that and just, you know. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a song. It's actually very short. It's Amazing Grace. It's only 26 seconds long. But it's Amazing Grace. And while I play this, I just want you guys to think a little bit on the message and reflect on it, all right? And then we'll go from there afterwards. Amen. Listen, I love you guys. I hope that can be a blessing to you. I'm going to start to see how this plays out. If you have any suggestions on how I can do all this, please feel free to share. Also, I do want to mention this. I am planning, and if the Lord willing, I want to make some cards to promote the sermon audio ministry. And if you have any ideas that you want to share with me, kind of a design idea, please let me know. I'm more than willing to hear you out, and I really can't think of it right now. I don't have a particular design in mind. So if you have a design that you'd like to, I don't know, was something that you, good Lord bless you with, or something that comes to mind, please feel free to share. I want to do something to just to kind of get the word out and let people know that they can also go to Sermon Audio. Although there's quite a bit of people that are on Sermon Audio, so they can just simply find it. I just wanted to mention a few things. Really quickly, before I leave, I haven't gotten to prayer requests, so let's go ahead and let's quickly go through some prayer requests here. Let's see here. That's not it. There we go. That's it. Okay, so really quickly, I want you to pray for me, pray for the ministry, pray for these videos that God will have his way. Pray for our fellow sister and strength. I do have a praise for this particular sister, is that there has been help that has been sent her way to help her out with all this load. So praise the Lord for that. But still pray for her mother. Pray for, just continue to pray for her situation. I'm sure she would appreciate that. I won't mention who it is. Just, you know who you are. Let's see here. We have another brother that has family, even his ex-wife, who's not saved. Please pray for this particular brother. I'm not going to mention him by name. The only one I will mention by name, and I know he won't mind, because he always is actually really appreciative. Continue to keep Brother Joey in prayer. He's got pain. So he has pain, and I sometimes have back pain. So, you know, keep him in prayer and pray that God will comfort him during his pain. I don't know. We have another sister that will sometimes watches us. Please keep her in prayer for salvation for family. But other than that, that's all I really have. I have to apologize, because the video I've had numerous takes on this video, because it kept on getting in and out on me, and it was just really starting to annoy me. But praise God that through this broadcast, I don't think not once has this ever cut out on me. So whoever prayed, thank you very much. That was an answer to prayer. And having to try all this, I think the devil didn't really like it, so he was trying to sabotage it. So the fact that it just seems like the more and more we add to these videos, the more and more that God takes this ministry and shapes it and forms it the way that he wants it, the more the devil's going to attack. And so, you know, just having to try this out a little bit, see how this goes and stuff like that. I don't know, it's just something that just seemed kind of fun and stuff. So, but if it goes well, it goes well. So anyways, I think that's about it. So thank you for bearing with me, and thank you for bearing with me with these really these takes that I kept on doing, and I apologize for that, but this will be the final take. So we have a fellow sister who her father had fell and his head is hard and had to go by ambulance, and so there is a possibility that he might pass on. So let's pray for him. Let's pray for this sister. Let's pray for this sister's father. Pray that this father will have salvation before he passes on, if he is not yet saved. But pray that that God will give the wisdom to doctors that he might still be able to continue to live on. But if not, then let's pray and hope that he's saved. So let's keep that in prayer. And out of respect, I won't mention who it is. I'm going to just leave it as that. And I would like to thank you for posting that. So anyways, With that said, I think that's going to be it for the evening. So, you know, you guys, I hope you had a great week. And I love you guys very much. You know, I just want to just preach the truth as it is. I love you guys. You know, God bless you. I hope you guys had a great week. Pray for me as I will have 3 weeks off, which, praise the Lord, it will give me a lot more time to get more into the Word and get more into some deep stuff. So pray for me on these next videos for my 3 weeks off. Praise the Lord. But other than that, that's it. So, but listen, I love you guys. God bless you. This is Pastor Brandon. I am signing off for the evening. I love you guys. God bless you. You have a great rest of your Friday and have a great, great weekend. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next time. See you. Bye.